necessary, and I love. Good evening. I'd like to call to order the Public Engagement Commission meeting for Wednesday, November 20th, 2024. To begin, I'd like to start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand.
Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I want to start off with a really good announcement. We would like to introduce our newest commissioner, our youth commissioner, Jerica Mannion. How did I pronounce your first name?
Sagarica.
Okay. She's a student at DP, Dos Pueblos High School, and has served the past 3 years on the Santa Barbara Youth Council and is currently second vice chair of the council. In this capacity, she serves among other youth as a representative of the local government, provides youth input in the city of Santa Barbara's initiatives, and leads initiatives as well. For example, in 2023, Sajarika was part of the Youth Council Ordinance Subcommittee, where this group drafted an ordinance regarding the safe storage of firearms, presented this to the city of Santa Barbara, which passed, becoming an ordinance in the city. After serving on the Santa Barbara Youth Council for the city of Santa Barbara, she now feels that she can make an impact on the city of Goleta. And so as a youth member of our Public Engagement Commission, I also want to add that she just accomplished quite a feat, which is she was the channeling champion in golf for 4 years in a row. Yes. Which is wow, at least in my book. So welcome. We are really happy to have you. Please say a few words if you'd like.
First off, thank you, Chair Paz, for having me. I'm super excited to start and to provide my impact for the city of Goleta.
And one more small item is that her brother actually served as a youth commissioner before. So it's all in the family. Thank you. So thank you again. We also kind of want to take a moment to mention that we will have a new commissioner. Executive Director of LEAP, Lori Goodman, has been selected as our next commissioner. She'll be joining us starting our next meeting. She formerly served on the city's Library Commission, so we're very excited about that as well. With that, I'd like to do roll call.
Commissioners, please remember to turn on your microphones for roll call. Commissioner Amoregi?
Present.
Commissioner Klein Rothschild?
Here.
Commissioner Ibarra?
Here.
Vice Chair Schneider?
Here.
Youth Commissioner Mannion?
Here.
And Chair Paz?
Here.
Thank you.
Now with that, we also want to move to the next announcement, is that Commissioner Schneider's today's meeting is her last meeting. And last meeting was former Commissioner Uribe's last meeting. So we want to take a moment to thank them for all of the service that they had, which was about 7 years. So we have our Mayor Perotti, here to present them each with a city tile to thank them for their service.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you for that. Thank you, Chair Paz and Public Engagement Commissioners, and welcome to our newest addition. Pleasure to see you sitting there. It's such an honor to have a student be with us, and I remember your brother quite well. So thank you for that. Well, I'm here to present two city tiles to two very special people. So I'd like Sylvia Arube to please come up and Beth Snyder and join me here. And I'll just say a few words and then I'll present you with the tile on behalf of the entire city of Goleta and our council members, of course.
Mm-hmm.
wherever you would like to stand. Okay, before I present you with your titles, I just want to say a few words how important the Public Engagement Commission has been and will be, continue to be. We value our public engagements, our public, we want to know more about how we can do things better, what we're doing right, and what we're doing wrong. And also, you know, your list of accomplishments have been quite long. You've accomplished a lot in 7 years, and you've both been on from the very beginning. And I think we gave you a list, and I'm not gonna name everything on the list, but there's a few things that really stand out to me. I think there was a question whether, how do we get more people to come to council meetings? What about only having meetings in the evening? Because at the time, we were doing afternoon meetings, and then there was a break, and then evening meetings. Well, we asked you, you came back to us, and you said, you discussed it, and you said, the commission said, yes, that's a good idea. And of course, council was a little worried. We thought, oh, we're never going to get everything done in just a few hours in the evening. But we did. We've done it. It's been successful. And we still continue on working to get people to come out to the meetings. But now it's in the evening. And then the second thing that resonates with me was whether we should pay our council members a living wage. At the time when I started in 2010, council, for every meeting they went to, they were only receiving $300 a month. And so that was limiting. It was limiting to people that would like to do this and have it be part of their income. And so we asked, what do you guys think? You know, should we put it on a ballot and ask our community whether you think council should get a living wage? And you all discussed it. I watched some of those meetings. You did a great job of discussing it. And I thought for sure, when we put it on the ballot, I said, this is not going to pass. People are going to think that we're putting this on the ballot to give ourselves a raise. So, you know, we didn't advocate because we couldn't legally. I didn't do much education. We just put it out there and let our people decide. And guess what? Said, absolutely, you need. And the reason we wanted to do that as well is it would enable people to maybe have a part-time job and then work as a council member. And because before it was limiting. Either you had a very good employer that realized, you know, you weren't a council member and was flexible, or you were retired, yeah, or you were self-employed. So it was limiting to how many people we could get to run for city council. And it's helped. Then, of course, should we have an elected mayor? You know, I struggled with that one as well because I kind of liked the idea of all of us. We rotated our mayors, and I kind of liked that. I thought that, you know, we all got to see what it was like to be a mayor. But I said, sure, the council said, well, what do you think? And we all decided yes. We put it back to your commission, and you all discussed it and said, I think you should put it on the ballot. So it was on the ballot, and sure enough, the community said, yes, we want an elected mayor, but only for 2 years. And I think it was a lot to do. I could go on and on about that, but the wording was odd in the ballot measure. So it went back in 2020. We went to you first. What do you think? Maybe a four-year mayor. And we put it on the ballot in 2020, and sure enough, the community said, yes, we want a four-year mayor. Because if you're brand new, the first year, you're learning a lot. And the second year, I just say it, if it's only 2 years, you're campaigning. You just have to. So those are just a few. And I know maybe you have more stories about things that you feel really proud of. But I'm so proud of this commission, and thank you for all that you do. And I'd like to present Sylvia Arube in special recognition for Public Engagement Commission. So in appreciation of your dedication and commitment to the city of Goleta from September 11th, 2017 to September 4th, 2024.
Wow.
And Beth Snyder. I can't can't believe you two are leaving. No guilt, but I'm going to put a little bit on you. Special recognition of Beth Snyder, Public Engagement Commissioner from the City of Goleta, in appreciation for your dedication and commitment to the City of Goleta from September 11, 2017 till November 20th, 2024. Yes, absolutely. I just wanted to give you a shake.
Oh. Okay. Can I say something?
Absolutely. You both can. Come right on
okay.
up.
Okay. Well, commissioners, it's weird to be on this side this time, but I'm really happy, and I want to say three things. The first one is that I'm very proud of having been in this commission, because I know that everybody that is here is so committed to doing the work. And I really appreciate all of you, and I know that the new members, like Sagarika, you're gonna have a great time and you're gonna learn a lot, as I did. So that's the first thing I want to say. The second one is that we were here to basically, we had a mandate, which was the districts, the election by district. And we had to draw the maps and do all of that. So I think we completed that mandate very successfully. And other things like Paula was mentioning. And I think that fills my heart with warmth, that I'm doing and giving back something to my community, which that's why we're here. And I invite everyone that is watching now to do the same. And the third thing that I want to say is that this commission has a lot of potential. Our work, your work in this case, is not done. There's a lot of potential, and the city is so committed to having the public be more engaged. And I know that there are many things that take their time and their resources, but at some point, this commission should have some resources of its own so we can be more effective in getting directly to the people. I think that would be a great thing. And I thank everybody in the city because they have done our job incredibly easy, and you might be in agreement with that. Paula and all the city council, but Kelly, Jamie, Marcos, and everybody here. So thank you very much. I didn't expect this, but I'm keeping it as a keepsake forever. Thank you.
Hi, Sylvia at least knew when she came in that this was going to happen. I had no idea this was going to happen. Okay, what do I want to say? I want to actually credit Margaret Connell with a particular piece of the work that we did, because Margaret Connell, who many of you know, and if you don't know, she was mayor of Goleta, and had been on the city council and had been working on Goleta politics for forever. She said to me one day, "Why don't you run for office?" And I said, "I have a full-time job already at 60 hours, so I don't think I can do it." And she said, "It's not very much time. It's like 35 hours a week," is what she looked me in the eye and said to me. And I said, "Uh-huh, I'm not doing that. What else have you got?" And at the time, she didn't have anything else. But it prompted, I know, a lot of motivation on my part to see that the city councilors get paid, and that $300 was not going to do it. At all. That's one thing. So I'm very proud about that piece of business. I think I'm even prouder than Sylvia, maybe, about the fact that actually we managed to get districts in the middle of a pandemic. Because if we recall, we all did a lot of that work outside in the streets with masks on, and it was a very complicated time to do the work. And the whole process of districting has been, on the one hand, successful, and we finally have had all the elections for all the various districts. But I think building on the districts is something that I've been trying to talk even to the city council people about, because I think that in the districts, there's public engagement work to do. And so I believe that that's going to come up as a topic for conversation because they're sort of naturally occurring, in quotes, neighborhoods. And because Goleta is so small, sometimes we don't think about neighborhoods in that kind of way, but the council people have to. And so it may be a way to spread. And finally, I have been impressed, particularly over the last couple of years, with the success of the city staff, I guess the city councilors and the staff, at pulling together what we're about to see this evening and pulling together a program and a path forward that does have to do with some of the issues that are about inclusion and diversity for the city staff, for the city activities, and so on. And so finally, it has been a pleasure because this has been primarily the people we work with. We're working with the staff who's here tonight, Kelly and Marcos and Jamie. And so that we can get the job done. So I look forward to this. 7 years is a really long time. And partly because of the pandemic, I think that we somehow don't quite get that 7 years is a long time. But I thank you all very much for this. It's a great surprise. Thank you.
With that, we can move to if there's any public comment.
If anyone wishes to speak on this item, please use the raise hand icon and I will call on you. We have no public speaker slips, and Chair Paz, it does not look like we have any comments at the moment.
Thank you. That means we'll move to our consent calendar. And first item is A1, approval of the Public Engagement Commission meeting minutes of September 4th, 2024. We have a motion and a second.
I make a motion we accept minutes as presented.
Motion by Commissioner Ibarra and second by Commissioner Amoroji. We need a roll call, right?
Yes, that's correct. Commissioners, please remember to speak into your mic and lock in your votes for this roll call vote. Commissioner Amoroji. Commissioner Klein Rothschild.
Abstain.
Commissioner Ibarra?
Yes.
Youth Commissioner Mannion?
I abstain.
Vice Chair Schneider?
Yes.
And Chair Paz?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
We move to item B1. It's update on diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts by the City of Goleta. And this is led by staff.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
It's a pleasure being here. Thank you for having us. We're here, as you mentioned, to update you on our diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. It's been a very busy year. I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Rebecca Eggeman, and I'm the City of Goleta's DEI officer. I also wear a couple of other hats with the HR and risk management analyst as well. One of my roles as the DEI officer is I lead our DEI staff committee. Our staff committee was established a little over 4 years ago as part of our city's DEI initiative, which was approved by City Council in October of 2020. The staff committee currently has 13 members representing our city departments. We regularly work on ways to advance the goals set forth in our city's strategic plan. There's a DEI section of our plan, as you may know. These areas include developing a diverse and supportive workforce, creating a culture of learning and awareness among staff, strengthening public outreach and community engagement, meaningful engagement with multilingual community members, and examining our policies and practices to eliminate bias and ensure equity, inclusion, and access. I just want to take a moment to highlight a couple of recent successes that the city has had in terms of our DEI efforts. It was really exciting to see on October 17th that the League of California Cities awarded the city with the prestigious 2024 Helen Putnam Award for Excellence. And this was in the category of enhancing public trust, ethics, and community involvement. And we received it for our lead Goleta Bilingual Community Academy. And as you may know, Lead Goleta is a free interactive 6-week class which gives community members an opportunity to learn about how the city is run. Another thing we are proud of that's happened over the summer was our launch of in-person simultaneous Spanish interpretation and Spanish agendas at city meetings. The DEI staff committee is currently working on developing our DEI plan with the assistance of and expertise of our consultants, Equity Practices Group. A DEI plan, just to like clarify this, what is a DEI plan? It's a strategic document outlining the city's commitment to creating a welcoming and equitable environment for all residents and employees. It takes an in-depth organizational analysis and promotes positive systemic change through identifying key goals and action steps. It also helps strengthen our staff's understanding and awareness of DEI initiatives and develops methods for monitoring and the effectiveness of these efforts. So it's kind of a guidepost for our organization in terms of its DEI efforts. And Jared, who's with Equity Praxis, his group is helping us develop this. And in terms of context, you know, we're here today. We'd like to note that some of the key public Engagement Commission's duties are DEI related, including how to ensure equitable communication and outreach, how to ensure that all residents are invited to engage with the city government and comfortable doing so, including our Spanish speakers, and historically underrepresented groups, and how to ensure a diversity of perspectives that are invited to be considered in public decision making. At the end of the presentation, we would like to invite you to let us know what questions you may have and to provide any suggestions that you have on how we can improve engaging our community going forward. With that, I'd like to hand it over to Jared, who will discuss our collaborative work over the past year together with the DEI committee.
Thank you. Can I advance the slides using this?
Yeah.
Or?
Do you want me to help?
That'd be great. Good evening. It's good to see you all. It's great to see some familiar faces, folks that I've known for many years here on this commission, some folks I haven't seen in quite a while. But thank you so much for having us here tonight, and thank you so much for the work that you do. My name is Jared Schwartz. I'm the founder and principal of Equity Praxis Group. Let me go to the next slide. And so we're the consultant that was hired by the city to help conduct and facilitate this equity initiative. I've been doing work around issues of equity for the last 34 years or so. Most of that time, about 23 years now, here in the Central Coast. I lived in Santa Barbara since 2001, lived in Goleta for several years, actually just right down the way here at Willow Springs in your backyard. And so we're a local organization, we're a mission-driven consulting group that really focuses on helping organizations be able to talk more effectively about issues of equity, justice, inclusion, belonging, and then through those conversations, take more effective and strategic action to build more effective, inclusive, equitable organizations and communities. Give you a sense of our team that's been working with the city of Goleta. In addition to myself, we've got Katja Armistead, who has worked here at UCSB for the last close to 30 some odd years. And she and I have been facilitating the training for the staff, which I'll tell you all a little bit more about in just a bit. Nitsan Navik, who is a student and professor at UCSB and has been kind of our lead researcher. So she's been doing the data analysis for the surveys and the listening sessions that we've been conducting. Rene Castro, who has been our project manager, really been the one kind of shepherding the whole effort forward, and then myself. So just to share a little bit about the effort goals, this originally went out as an RFP to, I don't know how far, but broadly, to find a consultant that could help with the following goals of being able to support the city of Goleta in meeting its goals of taking actions that advance equity within the organization and the community at large, collecting data and information, developing a plan around issues of diversity, equity, and inclusion that's specific to the city's needs and includes goals and objectives, monitoring progress towards those goals and objectives, and evaluating the effectiveness of those efforts and adapting the plan as needed. So initially, there was both kind of an internal and external focus. Internal on, how are issues of equity and inclusion playing out among the staff and between staff, and then the external being more between the city workforce and the community itself. Fairly early on in the process, a decision was made to focus this phase of the work internally, to really do the work with the staff first. And then I think my hope and everyone's hope is that as we round out and kind of close out this first phase, that there would be a pivot to the external as well to really look at how effectively is the city serving all of its residents. Let's go to the next one. So just to give you a sense of some of the work that's been done to date, we did an introductory equity workshop for all staff, back in April. It was about an hour and a half workshop on developing a common language. One of the things that we've seen happen over the years is that DEI issues have become politicized, that there's a lot of jargon around these issues, that people kind of use the term DEI as if it's one thing. And so we always find it's helpful to develop a common language to really tease apart, well, what do these concepts mean separately? What do they mean together? And what do they mean for this organization? So that's the work we did back in April. And then from there, once we had that common language, we were then able to start doing the assessment. And so we started with a survey that went out to every single staff member in the city, and we received 127 responses to that, which was an excellent response rate compared especially to a lot of the organizations we work. We often strive for a 60 to 70% response rate. This was up in the mid 90%, which showed a lot of engagement. We also did 12 individual interviews. We interviewed every city council member and all the key kind of formal leaders in the agency. And then most recently, we just finished conducting 5 listening sessions, and 92 employees participated in these listening sessions. I'll share a little bit more about those in just a bit, where people came and spoke with us for about 90 minutes sharing, answering questions and sharing about their experiences and their perspectives, about the current state of issues within the city and their hopes and goals and things like that. We've also been meeting regularly with the staff DEI committee every month to kind of help shape things. So we were facilitating the process, we were bringing our expertise, but the staff committee really helped, you know, helped us refine the assessment tools to make sure that they were relevant to Goleta and not just kind of something pulled off a shelf or out of a book. Same thing with the training. The staff really helped us identify what are the needs, what are the hopes, what are the goals, so that we could create something that's customized for the city. And then today, we just finished a 7-hour equity workshop for all staff where we looked at the idea of microaggressions, kind of the everyday subtle behaviors that that can cause people to feel excluded, cause people to feel like they have less opportunity, less engagement, feel less safe. And then we talked about what are the kind of the opposite, what are the everyday actions that people can take to help people feel more included, more seen, more visible, more valued. And ultimately to increase equity and safety in the organization. So we're waiting to get the feedback, the evaluation results on today's workshop, but I will say that the level of engagement that we saw from people, the amount of people who spoke, the kinds of things they shared, we were very impressed with how seriously the staff are taking these issues and how authentically they engaged and how much they care about the community. That's something that was just very, very clear that regardless of the role, regardless of someone's title or position, there seems to be just this common goal of providing the absolute best service to the city residents and to make the city of Goleta the best place it can be. So a strong foundation to build on. So like I said, we did conduct 12 listening sessions, or 5 listening sessions. We had 92 participants, and this just gives you a sense of where those folks came from, neighborhood services in the blue, finance in the red, public works and maintenance. We got a lot of participation from public works and maintenance, which is often an area that's overlooked when we work with government agencies, especially the maintenance side, facilities, things like that, are folks that are often less engaged in these kinds of efforts. Human resources and community relations in the green, and general services planning in the purple. So we had a great representation. Tomorrow, we're going to be meeting with the staff DEI committee to give the preliminary findings from those listening sessions. And ultimately, we will make those findings available beyond the staff committee as well. So what's coming next? Once we get the feedback from the staff committee about the listening session data, we've already heard their feedback and reactions to the survey data. We're going to pull all that data together into a draft report. We'll then use that report to work with the committee to develop the DEI plan. And then ultimately that plan, when ready, will be submitted to City Council for review and hopefully for approval. After that, some of our key recommendations are to set up a process of implementation and continuous improvement. One of the things that all too often happens when organizations engage in this work is they come up with a plan, and it's a beautiful plan, and it's wonderful, and it identifies all sorts of great work, and then it sits on the shelf or in the cloud and never to be seen again. And so developing an implementation plan is something that we feel is very important, and we'll work with the committee to help make sure that the plan actually includes that implementation piece and a recognition that as you start implementing it, some things are going to be very successful and there'll be a lot to learn from that, and we want to capture that learning and adapt as needed, and some things won't be as successful and we want to capture that learning that comes from that and adapt and modify the plan as well, and that hopefully this becomes a living document. So that's one piece. The other key piece, and I think a piece that's particularly relevant to this commission, is this: all the work so far is focused internally, but the purpose of the staff, the purpose of the workforce, is to serve the community. And so no equity initiative is going to be complete until community voices are brought into the process, till we look at what are the issues that community members face in terms of their access to services and programs, in terms of barriers that prevent people from receiving the best possible education, the best possible public safety, the best possible recreation, the best possible, you know, health care, all the different things that, that cities provide for their residents. And we want to make sure that that the city is doing its job of not only providing services, but providing them in a way that's accessible, that is inclusive, that people who are receiving those services can actually access, and that is equitable. And so one of our key recommendations is to kind of adopt a phase two to this effort that's much more externally and community focused. I think that's it. I've got my contact information there, so if you have questions after tonight, you can contact me, and if I can't answer the question, we can get you connected to the appropriate member of our team. But we do also want to open it up to questions and see what might be up for you right now.
Commissioners, use your button if you'd like to speak. I have three. First one is Commissioner Klein Rothschild.
Thank you. It's impressive. There's been a lot of activity, and we can see that. One of the things we often wonder is, okay, there's activity. What's the impact of activity, both in terms of the feedback from the participants as well as the impact on a broader scale? It sounds like that's in process, but that's very much what we're very interested in hearing about, right? It's easy to do things,
right,
but what are the outcomes? So I hope that we hear about that later. In terms of the listening session breakdown, I was wondering, how does that match the percentage of staff by those areas?
Yeah, good question. Do you have that information?
I would probably have to look up the information. I could probably get that information for you in terms of the actual staff. I know I have that probably back, and Nitsa might be able to assist with that as well.
It would be of interest, obviously. We have certain percentage who are in human services, certain percentage in different areas, how that reflects the numbers so we get a sense of balance. That's just a question.
Sure.
And a comment, a thought, is in terms of bringing the community members into the process, one of the things I wondered about, I just throw out as a suggestion, should we consider doing things by our districts? Now that our city has districts and we have representatives by districts, both elected officials as well as Public Engagement Commission, maybe we help our neighborhoods feel more connected. Mm-hmm. I know I've been reading a lot about and hearing a lot, I don't know if some of you have seen the movie Join or Die, based on the Bowling Alone a book, and that people are not engaged in their community civically. Mm-hmm. They don't go as many clubs. They don't participate as much. How can we create that? If we go back to our districts and our neighborhoods, maybe we can, because when we have more engagement, we have better outcomes. So it's one thought. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Schneider.
Well, actually, one of my questions follows exactly from those comments. When I looked at, in fact, I'd love to see it again, the pie chart, because the pie chart struck me as posing a dilemma about who was being accessed and trained and spoken with at this point in time. Mm-hmm. It seemed to me that some of the staff who are, or I could be wrong, but some of the staff that are most engaged with local residents are very few in terms of their participation in the listening session. Mm. So that, and again, I could be wrong, but human resources and community relations struck me as, whoa, that seems kind of low. And neighborhood services and library and community. So what I'm looking at when I see the pie chart is a wish for and the inclusion of people from those two areas, because they seem to be really crucial areas in terms of community engagement. And it's great about public works and maintenance, because those folks spend a lot of time dealing with problems, dealing with people's problems, and are out there, and you can see those folks working a lot. But in some of these other areas, it's not so clear who's there, who's trained, who's the staff, and how many are there, you know? And so these are small numbers, and maybe that's what Susan was also responding to, but this chart sort of struck me as, I like that there are 92 participants, but are they, how are they spread?
How well represented?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good question, and it's certainly one we can go back to. I will say that, you know, again, the focus of these listening sessions was more on the internal experience of the organization. What's it like to work for the city? What's it like to, you know, do you feel supported? Do you feel visible? Do you feel like your ideas are valued? Do you feel like your identities are valued? It was very internally focused, but I think, one, it'd be helpful, you know, we can go back and look at those numbers, but two, if the city decides that it wants to do more of a community-based effort moving forward, that's when we would definitely want to make sure that that groups that work directly with city residents are overrepresented, and that we're also looking at, you know, how do we actually hear from residents directly?
Right.
A diverse group of residents.
Yeah, I don't want to take too much time, but one of the things that I've noticed is when something very particular comes up, and here I'm thinking about the need to close the library and move the library, suddenly a lot of people have things to say, and a lot of the people who have things to say are the library users, and I've had a recent experience of actually using the Goleta Library myself, and who was there? There were all these young people, young families with young children, and those folks don't get themselves involved in a whole lot of Goleta politics. They don't have the time and the energy to do that, but they were there for that. Yep. And so there's a kind of thing about what issues bring people, what issues interest people, you know, and we saw it around the elections too in terms of housing and where it should go and so on. It, you know, around issues, things happen. Mm-hmm. So again, that's sort of external, but it certainly has to have an effect on the staff, yep. right? In terms of, oh, all these people are really interested in what we're doing, kind of response. So again, the sort of relationship between the internal, which seems really important, and the external is a kind of interesting problem and something that's complicated to fit together.
Absolutely, and I think that, you know, if we get to that point where we do more of that external work, more of that community-based work, I think getting, you know, feedback and input from you all around, you know, well, is the best way to invite people by district, or is the best way to invite people by issue that they might be interested in, or by identity, or there's so many different ways that we could organize it, and just as the staff really worked as internal advisors to us for the internal process, we're going to be looking for those advisors who can help us think through, assuming we're the ones working with you, you know, help us think through what's the most effective way to reach the most people and the most diverse set of voices in the community. And if it's not us that's working with you, I would certainly make sure that I think this group should be involved with the selection of any consultant that might work with the city on this, both in terms of, you know, making sure you're asking them the questions that would help you understand, do they really know what community engagement looks like? And then two, advising them as they go.
Right. Ms. Hageman.
Oh, yeah. And if I may, now that I think I understand the question more about the pie chart, one thing I can mention is the green, the human resources and community relations, very small group. There were three of us in HR, and then we had community relations, our other small group. So
six.
And we the small cozy groups,
there they are.
You know, we had a little cozy session. But we in developing kind of, you know, who to identify to invite to these listening sessions, we really were thinking about the front-facing staff. We wanted to make sure we had the front desk folks, the library, the folks who are working, engaging with the community, and in finance, having our folks who work with licensing. We really wanted to make sure they were there and so that we would have their input as well. So,
thank you. My help. Mr. Butter.
You know, looking at this information, I'm very impressed the way it's broken down. So first off, I like it. But I do have some questions regarding the listening sessions. What were the, if you can share with us, the topics or the concerns that they had at the listening sessions, and what were some of the questions that were or situations that were provided for them, for the staff to respond to?
If you'll give me just a moment, I can pull that up. Let's see. At least I think I can. It might take me a moment. Actually, I'm not able to access it right now. We can send you a copy of all the questions, though.
And I would appreciate that.
We can definitely email that to you. And if I find it as we're talking, I'll come back to it before then. But if not, we can definitely email it to you.
Now, was there a theme to some of the discussion? Were they saying, well, people are saying this, and we're listening to this? Could you give us a sense of that?
Yeah, I can give you some preliminary information. Like I said, we're going to be sharing this with the committee tomorrow. But a couple things that did come up as themes. One was inclusivity beyond representation. So people wanted to make sure that it's not just that we have a diverse group of people at each level in the organization, but that there is real inclusion. And just by way of a quick, definition of how we use those terms, diversity is just like, what's the numbers? How many of this type of people, how many people from this identity group, how many people from this area? Inclusion is, do those people feel seen, heard, valued? Are their perspective listened to? Do they feel like they belong? And so people were very clear that they wanted not just diversity and a focus on not just on diversity, but on inclusion as well. People talked about wanting to know how DEI issues can be applied in everyday practice, not just something to talk about in a training, but how do we do this in our day-to-day jobs? How do we operationalize it? How do we make sure it's not just something we're checking a box on, or that, like I said, we talk about once or twice a year in a workshop and then never talk about again? People wanted to address barriers barriers to opportunity, to advancement in the organization, and make sure that those types of things were being addressed. One of the challenges there, for example, is it's a small workforce, and there's not necessarily a lot of turnover, especially at those upper-level positions, and so, can people chart a career path for themselves within the city, or like with a lot of smaller organizations, do they have to leave here with the hope of coming back as positions open up? So there was a question about that, and then a desire for things to help with that, such as mentoring programs and cross-training, so that maybe there's no path for advancement right now in my department, but what if I want to join another department? There were some issues around remote and hybrid work, and people's level of inclusion depending on whether they work here every day, for example, and can see people and talk with people versus what if I work remotely, whether that's I'm working from home or I'm working in the field, and how do I stay connected? So that came up. High workloads and stress related to high workloads, which again is not uncommon in smaller organizations, but that was definitely an issue, and that it's often, it's hard to feel fully seen and valued when you're just working. So that came up. Issues around ability and language came up in terms of resources needed. This was a little bit somewhat internally focused, but also externally focused. So the internal piece was like our physical workspaces as accessible as they need to be, but some of the external as well of how do people navigate, community residents navigate working through the city services and programs, mm-hmm. if they use wheelchairs, if they are hard of hearing, if they have visual impairments, things like that. And then language came up, especially a recognition of the progress that's been made around Spanish speaking members of the community, but a need to continue building on that, but also a recognition or a desire to look at other languages that are spoken in the community and where the accessibility hasn't been addressed as much yet. So those were kind of a number of the themes that came up. There were some recommendations that came up as well, but I feel like I need to share those with the committee before sharing them in a public setting. So,
sure. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to ask one follow-up question to that. Were you surprised with the how open employees were to discussing some issues? Because, like you said, in some organizations, this is something that's done maybe once a year, and everybody mm-hmm. has to go. Everybody, and it's like a box of chips. But what did you think of the questions and the response from staff?
Yeah, I'd say two things surprised me a bit. One was, like I said before, these issues have become politicized across our nation. I'm sure that's not a surprise to any of you. And we didn't hear or see that here in the city. We didn't hear resistance in the way we're hearing it in other municipalities. And we're working with several other municipalities right now. And we didn't hear the kind of resistance to working on these issues. We didn't hear people saying things like, we shouldn't be talking about this. This is too woke. This is, you know, that didn't come up. What we heard instead was, like I said, you know, we want to make sure that we actually know what to do with this, not just, you know, say that, great, I've attended this training. We can put that on our website that we've done the DEI training and we don't have to think about it again. People genuinely wanted practical tools and skills. And actually, the training today was a reflection of that. We built the training today around what are some practical tools and skills to be able to recognize exclusion and foster inclusion and belonging. I'd say the other thing that was a bit of a surprise, which I kind of alluded to before, was just the level of participation, both in terms of the assessment, how many people responded to the survey, how many people attended the listening sessions, and even the trainings, which have not been mandatory, and yet, you know, probably had 90%, some odd percent of the staff there. And for those who couldn't be there, it was often a real reason, you know, a unavoidable doctor's appointment, sickness, needing to be in the field, things like that. And so those were the two things that really stood out to me, and I'd say are different than what we've seen in other communities that we're working.
And then the second one is, what do you suggest, or how can we be prepared as we go out there and we address the public as members of the public engagement to be able to prevent being unprepared to respond to people that really are anti-DEI and really have a political agenda?
Yeah.
What do you suggest?
You know, some of this came up today. There was questions about that. And what I'd say is, one, to try to lean away from jargon, you know, even, you know, not so much talking about DEI, but talking about the fact that the city right now is engaged in an effort to make sure that every single employee feels supported, every single employee feels valued and seen and heard, that every single employee feels that they have a place here at the city and that they're able to contribute their expertise, their value, their perspectives, and that this is a place where people choose to work and want to stay, and that that's what this work is about. And that as you pivot to the community, it's a similar type of thing. You know, we don't need to get stuck in jargon and what terminology we're using, but that there's gonna be a strategic, intentional effort to make sure that every single resident of the city of Goleta feels valued, feels that they belong, feels a sense of ownership for the city, feels that the city is responsive to their needs, feels that this is a place where they can live and raise their children if they have children, or have a career if they have a career, or enjoy their retirement if they're retired, or whatever it is, that every single resident feels like this is a place that's for them, that belongs to them, and that they can live a happy and thriving life. And that first there's gonna be an effort to find out where the city stands relative to that, that information, you know, you wanna get a sense of where the city is as a whole, but you also wanna find out, are there certain groups within the city that feel less supported, less visible, less heard, that have unique barriers to accessing the services and the programs that they need to live the life that they want to live? And if so, who are those groups, and what do we need to do to eliminate those barriers? It's not about special treatment. It's not about political correctness or things like that. It really is about creating the kind of community that Goleta says it wants, and then making sure that there aren't any subgroups, subparts of the community that are not able to achieve those goals. So that those are the things that I would say. You know, we can certainly, there's ways of doing that we can talk more about, but I would kind of focus on that outcome that you're trying to see and the why you're doing it, as opposed to getting caught up in, you know, the jargon.
Thank you. Sure.
Commissioner Amoroji.
Thank you for the presentation. I too applaud your group. Going forward, I'm wondering what challenges you see ahead. You know, in your effort? And then how can we, or what's the plan to support our, say, downtown businesses who have been struggling and who have a lot of issues, access to services, and some of them feel intimidated? And also, you did answer some of the questions about the training you had today, but can you give me a sense of where you are going, what's your next steps?
Sure. So some of the next steps are, like I said, to, you know, to now take all this data and information and turn it into a plan, and then to make sure that the city has the capacity and the tools to implement that plan effectively with respect to its workforce and making sure that the environment for your employees is the best possible work environment. And then the next part is, how do we now also turn towards the community and make sure that we're creating a Goleta that all community members feel a part of? So those are the next steps there. In terms of training, we've kind of fulfilled the amount of training that was called for within the contract, but there's certainly, one of the things we heard quite a bit today was that people want more. And so we can explore kind of how, what are the next steps there, both in terms of what kinds of topics people want to talk about and learn more about, and what's the best way to provide that professional development to folks. In terms of the challenges that I see, I kind of put them into a couple different buckets. One is, as I said before, one of the pieces that we see is that people are already feeling this huge workload. And so now there's going to be a plan with new goals, with new objectives, with new action steps. And how will people integrate that into their workload? And some of that might be that we identify things that are not so much about doing more, but just doing things differently. So it's not an add-on to do work around equity inclusion. It's just a different way of doing it. But there will be also probably additional things to focus on. And so then there's a strategic question around, do other priorities fall off? Are there things that that can be done to create more efficiencies and things like that? But I think implementation is one challenge.
Yeah. As you pointed out, you know, well, doing the presentation is one thing, and saying is easy. I mean, talking is easy, speaking is easy. But have you experienced any attitude resistance?
So within the city workforce, we really haven't experienced any resistance. And we've worked with a lot of people, and we've heard from a lot of people. And like I said, in other communities, we've heard a lot of resistance. So I don't think it's just the fact that it's maybe there and it just hasn't come forward. I think if it was there, we'd have heard it. And that's not to say that everybody is at the same exact place, but I do feel like, you know, we're not seeing this politicized resistance within the workforce. And what we're seeing over and over again is that everyone seems to be on the same page about wanting to serve the community as effectively as possible. That seems to be a consistent value and a consistent motivator. And that people are like, you know, if this work is going to help us do that, let's do this work. I do think that, you know, once this turns outward, that there is the potential for resistance. Like I said, I've been in the community a long time. My last organization that I work for, we spent 2 years fighting a lawsuit over work we were doing with Santa Barbara Unified School District. That lawsuit was won first, and we won it in federal court, we won it in state court, but there was resistance. And we've seen that resistance show up in Goleta, at Goleta school board meetings, in Goleta schools as well, at individual schools over the years. And we're entering into a phase in 2025 where federally there is a pushback to this kind of work as well, or at least to people's perceptions of what this work is,
exactly.
I should say.
Exactly.
Because when you really break it down, you know, it's like, well, what are you resistant to? Are you resistant to having a diverse community? Well, no, I'm not resistant to that. Are you resistant to the idea that everyone should feel valued and feel like they belong? Well, it's hard to be resistant to that. Are you resistant to the fact that some people may have barriers that they face in life that we could do something to help alleviate? So it's not, I don't think the resistance is really too, oftentimes to the work itself so much as what people perceive the work is about and what it is, which is, I think, the path to then addressing that resistance and even mitigating it beforehand proactively. But I do think it's a reality. And there has been talk about cutting off federal funding to cities and counties and schools that engage in this type of work. And I think that's where, one, as a public engagement commission, to be able to find out what kind of support is there in the community for being able to work to foster a more inclusive and equitable Goleta for everyone, for all residents, being able to, one, you know, like I said, find out what support is there, and then also being able to activate that support and make sure that it's not just those who are resistant to it who are coming out to speak at commission meetings and city council meetings, is probably going to be an important piece of work for you as well as for the city as a whole.
Right. A part of the resistance will be that people misunderstand what DEI stands for or what the intention is. And it might be, I'm sure you are aware of that it contributes to better profitability for the business. You know, mm-hmm. people are more motivated. And anyway, thank you for your presentation.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I just have one comment, and maybe it's directed to staff, there was one section where it was mentioned about doing an external facing plan. And one particular thing I would love to see, especially for this commission, is that you highlight those pieces that you think the Public Engagement Commission could mm-hmm. engage in or be part of. Because I know City Council at one point or another might want to look at and relook at what our role is vis-a-vis the community. In particular, I loved your comment, Commissioner Klein Rothschild, about looking at our particular districts and how do we engage them. But there might be nuggets in that data that give us sort of our next direction or perhaps our next area of work that we could do. So that would be wonderful if you could do that. And it would provide some data that the council could look at. That's my only comment. But thank you again for all of your work, and on behalf of this commission, for all of the staff that participated, because the number looks great. If it's in the mid-90s, that's great. And you're getting very little resistance. It's fantastic. I think we have a lot to be thankful for. So thank you.
You know, that last comment does make me think that one of the other things that we've heard over and over again is staff love working for the city of Goleta, and they love the city of Goleta. I mean, that's also mm-hmm. really shown through as how much people identify with the city, either both personally and professionally. And there's a real sense of love and joy as well.
Yes. One quick comment, Commissioner Schneider.
Yeah, I have been thinking about this a lot, and it came up in the last couple of years, particularly. I'm sure that the staff doesn't do this, but the staff must experience the ongoing trouble of distinguishing the city of Goleta from Goleta Union School and the city of Goleta from the sheriff's department. So both on the police and the educational end, it strikes me that there's ongoing and continuing effort, and maybe it's not coming out in the conversations you've been having with the staff, but it strikes me that there ought to be, because here's the city, and the city is making itself available and doing this training and so on, and I can't imagine that some number of the staff don't every day have to be saying, oh, that's Goleta Union business, or that's we're not in charge of the sheriff. Just a bunch of those sorts of things, which might, in the short run, but maybe in the longer run, as we go forward here, as a political matter, that more of this might come up and affect the staff as well as ordinary residents. But that has always been a confusion, I think, for people who live in Goleta. Like, really, we have a school system? And what are they doing? Where are they not? Where are they fighting? Where are they not? You know, all of that is out there. Yeah. And again, I don't know if you've heard that in terms of staff input or the troubles of staff with regard to even responding to those kinds of things and being responsive to concerns that people might have that are beyond the scope of their actual work. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say that it hasn't been brought up enough to make it to kind of the theme level.
Uh-huh.
Whether it's there kind of in the raw data, I haven't seen that yet.
Right.
But it may be.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I would imagine some of our front-facing our reception probably.
Yeah.
I imagine our reception probably would get that. The front-facing staff may hear that more. But, that's good.
And I would say that, the school district's a little bit different, but certainly with the sheriff, the sheriff department isn't part of your workforce, but you do, the city does maintain the contract with the sheriff.
Right.
And, again, as you shift to the external piece, I think that's going to be one thing that would be important to look at is what are the experiences that your community residents have with law enforcement?
Mm-hmm.
Is it positive? Is it negative? Is it a mix of both? And in what ways?
Right.
But then how does that affect your contract with the Sheriff's Department? Are you getting the information you need even to know if there are complaints being filed? Are you getting the information you need to be able to hold the Sheriff's Department accountable the way you would any vendor that you're working with?
Mm-hmm.
And those are, I think, important considerations as you move to another phase and a portion where I think, your commission would have a very important role and a very important perspective.
Thank you both. With that, we're going to close this item, and we'll move to item C1, selection of meeting dates for 2025 calendar year.
Thank you.
Ms. Hoover.
Good evening, Chair Paz. Good evening, Commissioners, and to everyone who is watching. And thanks to Mayor Perotti for being here. It's so exciting to have you. I know you're always watching these meetings, but it's exciting to have you here in person with us. This is our last meeting of the year, and it's a bittersweet one as we have a new youth commissioner, mm-hmm. and we're saying goodbye to Mrs. Schneider, on our commission. I do want to say really quickly, just thank you. You've been a tremendous commissioner. Your input has been so valuable, and you're always making us think about things, and you've really, really added so much. So
thank you so much.
So as we do have this last meeting of the year, we have to look at the calendar for next year, and we have four meetings in a year, and we've done our best to kind of look at the calendar, space these meetings out throughout the year, try not to conflict with the school calendar and different holidays, etc. So these are the recommended dates. You have them. Hopefully you've had a chance to look at them. We're going to continue to meet on Wednesdays at 6:00 for all of our meetings, and the dates we have recommended are February 26th, May 21st, September 3rd, and November 5th. So hopefully that still works for all of you. Of course, you have the authority to add a meeting if something comes up, but these would be the dates that we could put on our calendar and count on.
I have no problems or issues with the calendar as presented. Do we have a motion and a second?
I move to accept the four dates presented.
I second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Klein-Rothschild and a second by Commissioner Amoroji. We need a roll call. Thank you.
Commissioners, please remember to speak into your mic and lock in your votes. Ready? Commissioner Amoroji?
Yes.
Commissioner Klein-Rothschild?
Yes.
Commissioner Ibarra?
Yes.
Youth Commissioner Mannion?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schneider?
I guess I'm abstaining.
And Chair Paz?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our meeting dates, but we can always change those if we so choose later on. We move to item D, which is the director's report. Ms. Hoover again.
I do want to point your attention to a number of items. First off, we are accepting applications for our upcoming award-winning Lead Goleta Bilingual Community Academy. As you heard our DEI officer mention, we did receive the Helen Putnam Award for Excellence for the Lead Goleta Bilingual Community Academy, and I did want to show off our award. We're pretty excited about it. Jamie and Marcus and myself got to travel to Long Beach and see the award being accepted in Long Beach. And we had a chance to be on the expo floor and show off all of our photos and video for Lead Goleta and have people stop by and learn about what we did to receive this award. And we also, there was 12 total cities who received a Helen Putnam Award, and it was also really amazing to go see why they won their award, and it was just really inspiring. There was over 180 applications, and they only selected 12. So we're really grateful to our city manager for actually suggesting and seeing something special in Lead Goleta, and also to Shannon Kern on staff for filling out the application and making it attractive and really showing off the academy. So with that, we are accepting applications. The academy begins this year on January 16th, and it goes to February 20th. It's gonna be on Thursdays from 6 to 8:30 p.m. We're making it a little longer because we always ran over anyway. So we thought, let's just make it till 8:30 and take the pressure off and enjoy the time together. So we definitely would appreciate our youth commissioners helping to spread the word. We really, really are hoping to get college and high school students. I think we've received some applications. And we also, of course, would love Spanish speaking as well. And I think we've received some already. But this fills up fast. There's many people who, oh, I want to do it. I would just tell them, don't wait. Put in your application. And for our commissioners, if you can think of anyone that you know who would really appreciate this experience, please let them know. There is no deadline. Really, there's 30 to 35 spots. And as soon as we hit that, we close the application, period. But right now, we still have spots, and we're looking for who's going to be the next class, because you really do bond with the class, and it's kind of a forever, talk about belonging, forever sense of belonging to be a part of the Lead Goleta Academy. I also wanted to point out that we had our first ever event, Lights, Camera, Stroll, in Old Town to welcome the holiday lights. Hopefully you're enjoying the new shooting star lights in Old Town. But we had a really fun event. We probably had almost 200 people there, and Santa and Mrs. Claus were a big draw, I will say, in addition to the lights. And we also, it was a great chance to support our businesses in Old Town as well. So it was really just a wonderful event. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't want to use the word tradition, but you could tell that people really appreciated having a way to kind of kick off the holiday season, kick off good land, good shopping, even though it was pretty early, November 7th. But it still was nice to be there all together. And so we'll look to do more things like that. And then December 7th is the Goleta Holiday Parade. Yay. Tomorrow is the deadline if you want to participate in the parade. I think last year they had like 1,500 participants. So it's growing, this parade, and it's sure to be a great time. So please mark your calendar for December 7th for the Old Town Goleta Holiday Parade. And then this hasn't been promoted yet, but I just wanted to give you guys a heads up that we are doing a coffee and community on January 11th at Armitos Park in Old Town. And that will be District 2 coffee, but of course everyone is invited. And we hope you'll put it on your calendar and join us.
Thank you. With that, we move to item E, commissioner comments. But before we I open it up for any comments. I wanted to ask how Commissioner Mannion enjoyed her first meeting.
I have learned a lot about the city of Goleta so far, and I continue to learn more from you all.
Thank you. Any commissioner comments? Commissioner Ibarra.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes, I'd like to take this opportunity to several things. I want to thank Beth Snyder for having been there at the beginning and a lot of meetings along with Chair Paz that we've had. So I wanted to just say thank you to our other commissioners for being part of this. I also want to take the opportunity to thank Kelly, Jamie, and Marcos. You are the face of Goleta at the events that I have attended, and I hear positive comments. So I wanted to say thank you for doing it, because people do notice. I hear things, I ask members of the community, and they always seem to be impressed with the City of Goleta staff. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Welcome.
Yes, I would echo the same thing, because every time I have a conversation, I'm like, oh, I belong to this City of Goleta's Public Engagement Commission. And they ask me, like, what do you do? And then I say, this is what we do. And then I talk about the work that we do with staff, and they always say, oh, yeah, the city does really good job. Like, I always know what's happening. It's like, oh, that's good. That reflects wonderful on you. So thank you as well. Any other comments?
Want to add my thanks, appreciation to the staff. I was supposed to Kelly and Jamie, and you know, because they have been so supportive. And I do hear positive comments also from the Lemon Festival, from everything in the park. I think we have an awesome city and awesome staff for this park. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, if there's no other comments, I'm going to call for an adjournment of our meeting. Go ahead.
Oh, I thought of one more upcoming event that I did not tell you about, and that is the last city council meeting of the year.
Oh.
That is on December 17th, and it's a special one. It will be the last, obviously, meeting of the year. It'll be Council Member Richards' last meeting. We'll also be welcoming a new council member, and I would just encourage you all to come to that meeting.
Thank you.
We will definitely be saying hellos and goodbyes, and it would be nice to have you all there.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry, December 17th, right here at Council Chambers, and it starts at 5:30.
Thank you. All right, with that, we will adjourn the Commission, Public Engagement Commission for today. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.